You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're wrapping up the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Free From Offended. Has this series helped anybody? Has this been good for anybody? Oh, I'm offended that more of you didn't raise your hands. Just kidding. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've been talking about this for the past few weeks and discussing this series in life groups. And we've been talking about how God has so much more for us than us being stuck in offense and getting sidetracked by offense. God wants us to be free to everything that He's called us to be. And so today I want to end this series by talking about those offenses that have cut us really deep. I mean those offenses that are hard to let go of, not the everyday offenses like, you know, somebody was rude to you in traffic or you had a bad customer service experience, but, you know, those offenses that you've tried to let go of and you've found them really hard to shake and to let go of. Here's the problem. There's one problem that we all have in common when it comes to offenses and being offended, and here it is. As human beings, we have a natural tendency to love people conditionally. That's just our default. That's what we drift toward. We tend to love people conditionally. We put expectations and conditions on our love for people, and we do it without even realizing it. And it's expectations and conditions on our relationships that set us up for offenses and for hurt. Now, let me give you this principle. Usually the size and the depth of the offense, it correlates to the gap between what you expected and what you got. The expectation you had for that relationship, for that person, and the reality, how things turned out. I thought you were going to be this kind of friend. I thought you were going to be this kind of spouse. Man, your dating profile looked really good when I swiped right on you, but you turned out to be something really different. The difference between your expectations and your reality usually determines the size of the offense. Let me give you this analogy. I don't know about you, but I don't really have high expectations when I go to a fast food restaurant. Now, I know this is Westchester County, and you're all upwardly mobile, and you all eat organic, whole foods, non-GMO, plant-based diets. I get it. But I have three kids, and every now and then we go through the drive-thru, every now and then. And when I go to a fast food restaurant, I don't have high expectations. I don't expect to have the most excellent customer service experience. I don't know about you, but I checked the bag in the drive-thru to make sure they didn't miss anything because my expectation is they could mess up my order. I don't have high expectations. But when I go to a nice restaurant, I do. A few months ago, back in the fall, Amy and I were celebrating our anniversary, and we went to one of my favorite places, Ruth Chris Steakhouse. And love a good steak. And you know, when I go to a place like that, I have higher expectations. I expect the restaurant to be clean. I expect the staff to be friendly. I expect my waiter to be knowledgeable. And when you go to Ruth's Chris, you know, they bring a steak out to you in a sizzling hot plate with butter sizzling, and you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit when they bring you that steak, right? I expect it to be sizzling. I want to hear that noise when they bring it to the table. Well, they brought Amy her steak, but they dropped mine on the ground. So I was a little disappointed. I didn't say anything, right? Remember the principle, I'm over it. I didn't make a big deal about it, even though it was our anniversary dinner. But you know they can't, you know, get you a new steak really that fast. So, of course, Amy ate her steak, and I had to watch her eat her steak by the time they brought mine out. The manager came and apologized, said, we're going to bring you a fresh side of mashed potatoes when we bring you out a new steak. And like, okay, great, it's all good. And when I got the bill at the end of the night, I kind of expected that maybe the manager would comp my steak or at least discount it. Wouldn't you expect something like that? Well, they didn't. I had to pay the full bill. And once again, no big deal. I didn't yell and scream, make a big deal about it. It wasn't worth it. But I was a little bit disappointed because I had high expectations. I was a little bit offended. See, it's the size of your expectations, right? It's the gap between what you expected and what you got that usually sets you up for offense. So for example, it's one thing to let go of small everyday offenses like somebody cutting you off in traffic and making a less than polite gesture towards you, or a rude customer service experience with some employee, right? We can let go of those things, and we've been talking about a lot of those things the past few weeks, but it's different when you love somebody and they hurt you. It's different when you have a dad who walked out on you when you were a child who wants back into your life. It's different when there's a spouse who hurt you and wanted out of a marriage. It's different when there's a friend who you thought really loved you, who stabbed you in the back. Why? Because you had some expectations. You had some conditions. I thought you were going to be this kind of friend. I thought you were going to be this kind of husband or wife. I put my heart into the relationship. I put my time into this, and you didn't give back what I thought you would give. I had expectations. There were conditions on what I expected from you, and conditions and expectations, they set us up for hurt. So we know that we naturally, as human beings, we love people conditionally. It's just our default, but we know that God the Father loves people unconditionally. Aren't you thankful for that? I want to look at a scripture from Romans chapter 5. Let me just set this up for you. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians and the church in Rome, one of his most famous epistles, one of his most famous letters, a theological masterpiece. And he begins to talk about salvation and what Christ has done for us. And he begins to talk about how we're justified by faith. We're made right with God by faith, not by anything we've done, not by our good works. There's no conditions. Like, salvation is the free gift of God. He's talking about unconditional love. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul writes this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Look at verse 5. "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So he's talking about being justified by faith, this free gift of salvation, what God has done for us. We've gained access to a relationship with God the Father. And then a few verses later, he gives a really famous scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's such a beautiful thing. Like, you didn't do anything to deserve this love. God didn't put any conditions on it. There were no prerequisites. Like, God gave his one and only son for you unconditionally. See, religion always gets this confused, because people who have a religious mindset think that if I'm good, God will finally accept me. But the gospel blows it up and says that God accepted you before you did anything. He sent his son for you. There were no conditions on it. It's unconditional love. Aren't you thankful? Paul's talking about unconditional love here. And the word that he uses here in verse 5, when he talks about God's love, this is what we call agape love. The New Testament was originally written in Greek. And so this word that's translated love is agape love. And agape love is unconditional, self-sacrificial love, like no strings attached. It's not based on performance. It's not based on whether it's returned or rejected. It's unconditional. It's the kind of love that we see exemplified in the very person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross, who sacrificed himself for you and for me, unconditionally, no strings attached. And Paul says that's the kind of love that we've received, that's been poured into our hearts from God the Father. So with that thought in mind, let's reread verse 5. Verse 5, "God's agape love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Paul's saying, this is how God loved you. This is how God loved you. He poured out his unconditional love into your heart. And it's the realization of that that changes your life. It's the realization of that that warms your heart and brings you to a saving knowledge of God, because you recognize, God, you love me despite my past, despite my imperfections, despite my brokenness. Like, while I was yet a sinner, you poured your life out into you poured your love out into my heart, into my life. Now, today I have some props here to kind of illustrate this, okay? We have a vase here, and you have to use your imagination, because this represents today the bottomless well of God's love and grace. I know it's just a vase, okay? But work with me. Use your imagination. This is the bottomless well that cannot be exhausted of God's love, of his grace, and his mercy. We got some redemption cups here that represent us, because you are an outstanding, a wonderful, amazing member of Redemption Community Church, okay? So these cups here represent you with our Redemption logo on there. You look really nice today. And so Paul says that that God has poured out his love into our hearts. And so I picture it like this, like God is pouring out his love and his grace and his mercy unconditionally. Nothing we did to deserve it. No strings attached. He poured out his love into our hearts. And that's what healed us. That's what redeemed your heart. That's what made you come to life spiritually. It filled the cracks in your heart and your soul, made you whole. And so this is so important because unconditional love is powerful, isn't it? How many of you know unconditional love is powerful? It's really the only thing that can change the world. It's the unconditional love of Jesus Christ that has changed the world. And so when we stay connected to God's unconditional love, to the source, his love, his grace, his mercy, when we stay filled with that, connected to the source, when this is our identity, and we remember that who we are is because of what Christ has done for us, and we kind of live and breathe and just stay connected in the love of God the Father, we're spiritually whole when we're in that place. That's a really good place to live as a follower of Christ. Now, wouldn't it be easy if we just stopped there? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Like, God love me, no strings attached, unconditionally, I receive his love, the free gift of salvation. Come on, let's all just sing Hillsong, worship songs, hold hands, and live happily ever after. Wouldn't it be great, right? But we know that in return, God calls us to love others, doesn't he? He calls us to pour out the same love that's been given to us, to other people. And so let's look at this passage. We actually looked at this passage back in week one of this series from 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, which talks about this very thing. Here's what it says. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's unconditional love, right? We didn't love God. We didn't do anything. He loved us and sent his son for us. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Because God loved you this way, you ought to love other people. So knowing what we know now about agape love, same verb here, same Greek word here, we could say it this way. Because God so agape'd us, he's calling us to agape others. Because God so loved us unconditionally with no strings attached, he's calling us to give away that kind of love to other people. And so it looks like this. God, you filled me with your love, no strings attached. You gave me your son, your one and only precious son. While I was yet a sinner, you gave your life for me. Because you poured your life into me freely, I can give back to others. Come on, the scripture says, freely you have received, freely give. And so I can serve on the dream team at Redemption and bless somebody else and love somebody else. And I can serve up, I can sign up to serve for the winter serve event and go care for other people, even though I got chores to do at my own house on a Saturday. I can go bless somebody else, God, because you love me so well. Not because of anything that I did to deserve it or because I'm a good person. I can give back to others. I can sponsor a child, you know, down in Honduras, we're sponsoring kids. And by the way, we're taking a missions trip, our first missions trip this August. There's a meeting about that after service. So I can love others. I can give back. I can pray for people. I can encourage people, whether they love me or return that love, because God, you love me. Are you getting the picture? I can pour out what was given to me. Because I've been so loved, I can love others. Now, a couple observations I want to make here. You can only give to others what you got in the first place. You can only give to others what you got in the first place. The love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. It's your revelation of God's love and God's mercy and his grace that allows you to give to others. So the more that you've got, the more you've got to give away. But you have to be really careful and stay connected to the source because you can end up running on empty. And anybody who's served in church long enough, you've been involved in ministry, you've probably experienced a time where you gave away too much and you were running on empty and you found yourself trying to do it under your own inspiration, under your own ability, and you came up short. And so you got to be really intentional about staying connected to your source, Father God, his love, his grace, and his mercy. Now, in healthy relationships, there's some give and take. Right? We give love and we receive love. How many of you know that it's really good when it works that way? Anybody with me this morning? How many of you know when a relationship is working that way, where we're pouring love into each other, it's really healthy and really good, and we like when it works that way, don't we? And so here's what it looks like. Maybe it looks something like this. I've got, you know, you got a husband who who wants to love his wife, wants to pour out some love on her, and he's been reading the five love languages, so he knows that his wife's love language is acts of service. So he calls his wife and says, honey, I'm coming home early today, and don't worry about anything. I'm going to make dinner today, and I'm going to clean up the house, and I'm going to do the dishes. Can I get an amen from all of the married women in the house? Come on, somebody, don't be quiet on me this morning. I'm pouring my love out on you. Isn't that great? And then isn't this wonderful? We love when love is reciprocated, because she didn't even need to read the five love languages to know that his love language is physical touch. So you did the dishes and you cooked and you did all that good stuff. Go ahead and put the kids to bed early, because I'm going to pour some love on you. Come on, pour some sugar on me. Don't get quiet on me. Can I get an amen? All the husbands in the house. Come on, somebody. We love when it works that way. I'm loving on you. You're loving on me. All right, in terms of friendship, right? I'm going to text you today, let you know I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You're my bestie, and I'm just here cheering you on, and you're going to bless me back. You're going to send me heart emojis, praying hand emojis. Let me know you're thinking about me. We love when it works that way. Back and forth, give and take, right? I'm going to cover you because you need to take an extended vacation, and the boss said you could take an extra day or two if I would cover you. So go ahead. It's cold, and you're miserable. You need to go to Florida and go get cheered up. And I'm going to cover you, but I'm expecting in a few months, because I'm taking my family to Disney World. God knows I'm about to spend their college education fund taking them for a week, but we're going to go, and you're going to cover me. We love it when it works that way, right? I give, you give, give and take. Are you getting the picture? And we love it when it works that way, but what happens when it doesn't work that way? What happens when it doesn't work that way? When we put ourselves out there, when we gave our time, when we gave of ourselves, and it wasn't reciprocated. What happens when you poured yourself out, right, into the other person, and now you're empty? And there's this sense like, you owed me. Like, I loved you. I was there for you. I gave my time. I put my heart into this. And you didn't reciprocate. So now my cup is empty. And I feel this. This is a very felt need, isn't it? I'm empty. And I have a sense that you owe me. I'm offended. I have a right to be offended. My little love tank is empty. And you owe me. You said you would be that kind of friend. You said you would never talk about me. But I found out you were saying things about me that I don't appreciate. And I gave you time. And I was there for you. And you didn't reciprocate. And so now my cup is empty and I'm offended and I feel it very much so. And how does this happen to us? How does this happen to us? Well, it's because we naturally drift toward conditional love. We naturally drift toward what's called phileo love. It's another kind of love in the Greek. We've only got one word for love in the Greek. There's all kind of words. And phileo love is friendly love. Think about like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's friendly type love, friendship love. And it's kind of based on I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. I'll be good to you if you're good to me. It's conditional love. It's love with conditions on it. And so the more we expect from others, the greater the potential for disappointment and offense. I want you to put this in your notes. The more conditions we put on loving people, the harder it will be to love them. Isn't it true? The higher the expectations, the more conditions we put on loving people, the harder it will be to love them. And some of you are wondering why you're struggling to love that person. It's because of the conditions that you've placed on it. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be some healthy expectations, certainly within a marriage, that you honor your marriage vows, that kind of thing. We can only tackle so much in one sermon, okay? But we got to be really careful with this thing, because as a general rule of thumb, I think this is downright scriptural, the more we put conditions on our love for people, the harder it's going to be for us to love them. So here's where we've ended up. Now, my love tank is empty because I had expectations for you, the kind of friend you would be, the kind of brother or sister in Christ that you would be. And so you hurt me. You didn't live up to it. I'm disappointed. And my love tank is empty. But I forgot you weren't my source in the first place. Come on, my source was over here, the bottomless well of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. I got it twisted. I got distracted. You were my source in the first place. And this is what we do. We drift. We get distracted. I forgot that the love that I received that filled my love tank, that shaped my identity, that made my heart healthy, came from God the Father, and it was unconditional love. And so now I find myself putting conditions on my love for you when I received unconditional love in the first place. This is what we do. Because God has so loved you, so agape'd you. You ought to love others and just stop putting conditions on it. Because that's not the way he loved you. And so we drift. That's what happens. We drift. And what's worse is we end up here. And wouldn't it be great if we just woke up and realized it? But then what we begin to do is we begin to put up walls of protection. We go into protection mode. Well, I'm not going to let that happen again. I put my heart out there once. I thought Christians in the church would be different. I thought this relationship would be different. I thought this fourth marriage would be different than my first, second, and third marriage. And so I'm putting walls up around my heart. Here's what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19 says. An offended person is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. How many of you been there before? An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. We know that ancient cities had walls surrounding them to keep out invading armies. And so they had walls around them. And this is what we end up doing. We construct walls to protect ourselves. We kind of get this street smart sense, like I'm not letting anybody get over on me again. And they hurt me that way. So I'm going to look out for mine. I'm going to protect me. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so we begin to put up these walls. And we're willing to let you back in if you pay the full price for what you did. There's the condition. Then you can get back in. Maybe you can come through the back door, but we'll let you back in. And then we start screening people on who can get into our walls. We think we're being smart, but we start screening people, you know, and selecting who has a chance of being a good friend and who doesn't. But what we don't realize is the lens we're using is our hurts and our disappointment and our brokenness from the past. And so what we start seeing is everybody becomes a potential disappointment. Everybody, and we're measuring their potential to hurt us. And so we look, I'm not going to be friends with them because they remind me of that other friend. And I'm not, this one, oh, they remind me of that last church and that last relationship. And oh, that was a bad situation. I could see them. They're like a train wreck coming. And we start filtering people that way. And we don't even realize that we think we're being smart, but we're actually filtering people through our own hurt and disappointment. Yeah, that's what happens. So we begin to put these lids and these walls on our lives. And then you know who we let in? We let in the people who are on our side. The people who we find and we start telling them our side of the story, and they're like, you're right. That was wrong what they did. They shouldn't have done that to you. And we love it. We let them right in. They come in through the gates. But what you don't realize is usually the people who are on your side are also offended. They're usually offended people. Oh, be careful. Because when offended people get together, they attract each other, first of all, like magnets. Like, hey, let's get together. We could start a new life group, and it's for all the offended people. Let's all just be offended together. We're all offended about something. Wouldn't it be a great life group? Offended people will find each other. And here's the dangerous thing. Offense is like a sickness. It's like a cancer. See, if you had cancer, it would be good for you to get into a group, a support group with other people fighting cancer. But the crazy thing is that offense is counterintuitive. When you get around other offended people, then you're really in trouble. You're going to die faster. You're going to go down a lot quicker. I've seen this happen. I remember a few years ago, Amy and I, we were helping some friends that we love dearly. Husband and wife, we were working through some marriage issues, and we love both of them, but the wife, she got in with some other offended people, and she didn't get around the right people, and guess what? They all dragged each other down. They all got divorced. Nobody got healing in their marriage. That's what happens. Be careful when you let offended people come into your walls, and they sound really good because they don't challenge you. They energize your offense. They tell you you're right about everything. No. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Can I get an amen, somebody? Better to have a friend who will love you and tell you straight up what you need to hear. Like, I see unforgiveness all over you. I love you, but come on, we're going to pray right now because, man, you got some unforgiveness. Oh, y'all are being too quiet this morning. I know y'all are going to get there. I know I'm preaching to myself this morning. Now, I'm not saying there are some people that you need to love from a distance, okay? Talking about walls. There are some abusive people that you need to love them and forgive them from a distance, okay? Somebody who's been physically, sexually, verbally, emotionally abusive to you, you can forgive them and love them from a distance. But let's be careful with putting walls around our hearts because here's what happens. The outcome is we kill off relationships. The scripture says our love runs cold. And in closing our hearts off to other people, here's what we inadvertently do. We put a lid on ourselves. And now our hearts are closed off. And here's the thing. This is where it gets so deceptive. This is where offense is a trick of the enemy. Now we think we're smart. I got walls up. I'm protected. Nobody's going to get over on me. I'm a tough New Yorker. I'm street smart. Nobody's getting over on me. Don't look at me like that. I've got a lid on my heart. And in closing myself off to other people, now I've closed myself off to the love of Father God. without even realizing it. I got heart blockage and I can't receive from the source. I thought it was about you, but it's really about a blockage now between me and God the Father. You're walking around with a big fat lid on your heart, and be really careful because this looks really smart. This looks really wise, but we don't even realize that some of us are walking around with lids on our hearts. Offense has become a lid for you so that you can't receive everything that God has for you. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we resolve this? Well, let me talk about how we experience freedom from offense. Two things that I want you to put in your notes today. How do we experience freedom from offense? Number one, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness. When you begin to sense unforgiveness in your life, okay, harboring offense against someone, and it's not hard to know it's there, what is the first thing that pops in your head when you think about that person, right? When you notice a spirit of unforgiveness in your heart, that's when we go to God for forgiveness. We repent. Repent means literally to turn away from our sin on a different path. We leave that path and we get on the path of righteousness, and we ask God to forgive us for harboring an offense. This is so important because this is a heart issue. This is a heart issue. See, you can have all the head knowledge. You can quote all the scriptures, amen all the sermons, been to all the Bible studies and life group discussions, and still be walking around with unforgiveness on your heart. And this isn't theory for me. I've seen Christians do it. I've seen Christians who could stand upside down and quote scripture with their eyes closed, had a spirit of unforgiveness. They could tell you every reason why they don't have to forgive that other person. They just didn't realize that that's what happened. They had a lid on their heart. And it's a spiritual heart blockage. And if you don't deal with spiritual heart blockage, you end up having a spiritual heart attack. And so it's a heart issue. So, so important. Now, ask God for forgiveness. If possible, ask the other person for forgiveness. If they're still alive, if it's safe, if you can go to them, right? Ask them to forgive you. Really powerful thing. Go to them and say, hey, I want to ask you to forgive me because you hurt me. And I've been actually harboring offense toward you, and we need to work it out. Now, I know some of you are like, I'm not doing that. I get it. I'm not doing that. Like, I would have to, you know how much, I'd have to surrender my pride to do that. Exactly. It would be the ultimate act of you surrendering your pride, but it's what would bust the lid off of your cup and open your heart back up, because it's your pride that got you there in the first place. It's your pride that put conditions on love. That's what put conditions there. I expected you to treat me this way because I'm somebody, I'm a human being, and I have an ego, and you didn't live up to it. Thank God that God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, didn't exert his right to have an ego in loving us. And so you break the lid off of your love tank, the wall that's surrounding your heart, by becoming humble and going to that person and asking them for forgiveness. And some of you are like, well, they ought to go first. They're the one who hurt me. They're the one, and some of you are right. Like, they really hurt you. They disappointed you. Maybe they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. I would do that. I'm waiting for them to go first, though. I mean, I tried to reach out to them, you know, like one time I texted them like 5 years ago. I've been waiting, right? They could make the next move. But here's the problem. If I'm waiting for them to apologize before I forgive, then I'm giving them control of the timeline of my healing. I'm not doing that. Let me say that for you again. If you're waiting on them to apologize to you, and you're the one who's stuck holding this hurt, this offense, this unforgiveness, you're giving them power over the timeline for your healing. No thanks. No thanks. I'm going to initiate the process. And let me just use that word for just a moment. Forgiveness is a process. Depending on how deep the hurt is, it might be a process. You might have to ask God to help you forgive that person over and over and over again. I found that to be true in my life. I was deeply hurt years ago by somebody I loved, by a mentor, by a spiritual father. And here's what I found out, where for a cut that deep, I had to keep asking God to help me to forgive that person. It was a process. It took a few years. And you know how I know? When the process was complete, when I think about that person now, all I remember are the good things. All I remember are the love and the good things that person did for me, and all of the hurtful things have gone, they've faded away. So sometimes you just gotta keep forgiving over and over again. Keep going back to the bottomless well of God's grace and mercy, and it'll set you free. Here's the second thing. Number two, learn to trust God's love. How do we get free from offenses, especially ones that have cut us really deep and we've tried to shake them, tried to let go of them on our own and with our best efforts? Number two, learn to trust God's love. Some of you are like, well, what does that mean? Why would you say that, Pastor Jeremy? I mean, I get the forgiveness part. Why do I need to learn to trust God's love? Well, remember what got you to the place of offense in the first place. You took your eyes off of the love of God the Father. You started thinking that other people were your source, other people were your affirmation, other people were your source of self-worth, and you forgot that you were sustained by the love of God. So you got to work on trusting God's love a little bit more. Let me show you a powerful scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23 says this, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you." That's that unconditional love piece, right? We're going to love even if it's not returned, even if it hurts. He is your example. Jesus is your example, and you must follow his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threaten revenge when he suffered. Look at these words. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Oh, that's powerful. Oh, that's powerful. If there was anybody who could have asserted his right to be offended, it was Jesus. There was anybody who had the right to retaliate against his enemies, it was Jesus. Everybody let Jesus down. The Pharisees offended Jesus and let him down. The crowds were disappointed with Jesus, let him down. His disciples who walked with him for 3 years. Have you ever read the end of the story when Jesus is about to be crucified? Judas betrays him. Peter denies him. The disciples scatter when Jesus gets arrested. If I was Jesus, I would have been like, to heck with all these guys. I'm done. And then all he's done is heal people, love people, the self-embodiment of God's love. And yet, what do? They crucify him. What does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could Jesus do that? How could he forgive? How could he not hold on to offense when humanity did this to him, when he came for humanity and broken humanity turned on him? Why? It's because of what verse 23 says. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He trusted in the love of God the Father, and he trusted that God is a righteous judge. God, you've got this. You've got this. I can trust you. I can trust that you see me. I can trust that you see my hurts. I can trust that you see my disappointments, and you're a loving God, and I place my trust in you. Because for some of you, there's this sense of, Pastor Jeremy, I want to forgive that person. I've been hearing you the past few weeks, and I've been trying for so long, and I just don't have it in me. And if that's you today, you're at the right place. Come on, if you've come to the end of your efforts, if you've come to the end of your striving, if you've come to the end of your rope and you're at this place of saying, God, I cannot do it myself, you're just in the right place, because you're just the kind of person who can fall on the grace and the mercy of God and say, God, do in me what I cannot do for myself. Come on, that's where you open your heart up. God, pour your unconditional love and mercy and grace, because I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to let it go because of what you've poured into my life, not because of anything I've ever done. Newsflash, it was never about your capacity. It was about the unconditional love and grace and mercy of God the Father poured into your life. It was never really about you. So we turn to this place of saying, God, you got to do in me what I can't do for myself. Here's the idea. We get free from the offense of others when we develop a greater faith in the love of God. It's really not about them. We always make it about them. It was really the whole time all along about us. And we forgot who our source was. We forgot the source of our identity, the source of our healing, the source of our wholeness. We got our eyes distracted on other people, but God, it was always about you from the very beginning. See, that's what this series has been about this whole time. In week one, I can let go of my offenses and receive the love of God. I can let go, right? In week two, God, I can begin to hear the voice of God the Father above every other voice in my life, affirming his love for me, affirming his love for me. I can pass over, week three, I can pass over an offense because the love of God calls me higher. The purpose of God calls me higher. Last week, I can love people in the church. I can overcome offenses in the church because God, you're the one who called me to be a living stone being built into a house. Do you see what I mean? All along, it's been about the revelation of God's love. The greater your revelation of his love, the greater your capacity to forgive, to release others from offense. And that is the biblical idea of forgiveness. It is to release, to release. And so we get free from offended as our identity, as our persona, as we develop a greater faith and trust in the love of God. Gotta trust your love. Gotta trust your perfect love. Gotta trust that you see me, you see everything that's happened to me, and I can trust my situation in your hands, amen? I'm opening my heart. I'm taking the lid off to receive your unconditional love in my life. Come on, why don't you stand with me? We're gonna take a moment to pray. In just a moment, we're gonna receive communion together. But we're gonna pray for a couple things. First of all, for a greater revelation of the love of God, a greater revelation, the unconditional love of God, and for forgiveness. Some of us, we have to forgive again today for the 100th time, for the 1,000th time. We're gonna pray it one more time. God, I forgive, I release. Would you just pray that with me? Maybe you wanna bow your heads, just bow your hearts. Some of you wanna lift your hands today. Maybe you've never done that before. Nobody's looking at you, just heads bowed. Just lift your hands as a symbol of saying, God, I'm open to your love and I'm releasing hurts today. I'm releasing hurts today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your unconditional, self-sacrificial, no strings attached, agape love. You gave your one and only son for us while we were yet sinners. You loved us so well. God, you loved us. You loved us the way we always wanted to be loved, exactly for who we are, God. Despite our weaknesses and our faults, you poured your love into our hearts. And we're coming back to it today, God. We're coming back to square one, just to first base. We're coming back to that place where we first melt, where we first felt your love, God, and received it. Let it cover our hearts today, God. So much so that we can forgive others, that it overflows for us to release others today. So we forgive yet again. We release yet again today. In Jesus' name. And I want to pray for the person today who, even as you hear this message, something inside of you, you long to know God that way. You long to have a relationship with God. You long to have a sense of the love of God in your life. And you would say, Pastor, I don't even know where to start, but something's tugging on my heart today. We believe that is the loving tug, the loving, gentle tug of the Holy Spirit on your heart, who's drawing you to God the Father through Christ Jesus, that you might know him. And it starts with just giving your yes to Jesus, opening your heart. So if that's you, come on, just pray with me. Just heads bowed in this place. Some of you need to pray this for the first time. Some of you need to pray it for the 100th time. Jesus, I give you my yes. Come on, if that's you, just pray with me. I give you my yes. I place my trust in you today. I believe you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you came to this earth, that you lived for me, that you died for me, and that you resurrected to give me new life. And I receive you into my life. I turn from my sins and I open my heart to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer today for the first time, or for the first time in a long time. Thank you, Lord, for the inner witness of the Holy Spirit that testifies to our spirit that we're reborn sons and daughters. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.